want to talk about a truth that I think we already know, but oftentimes we don't live as though we believe it. Does that make sense? As Christians, we know this truth, but oftentimes the way that we live our lives and the way that we respond to certain circumstances might not necessarily reflect that we know and believe this truth. Title of the message this morning is Bread for the Soul, and we're going to be just a few verses beyond where we were last week. If you remember, we talked about Jesus feeding the 5,000 with a couple of loaves of bread and some fish, and just a few verses later, we find ourselves in some teaching that Jesus is doing, and so we're still in John chapter 6. In verses 25 through 33, and then we'll skip a few verses and drop down to verses 43 through 47. Anyway, this is what it says in John chapter 6, starting in verse 25. Now, in my Bible, perhaps in yours, the heading above that might say, Jesus, the bread of life. I don't know if you're looking at it on your mobile app. It may say something different. I don't know. Anyway, this is what it says. It says, when they found him on the other side of the lake, they asked him, Rabbi, when did you get here? And Jesus answered, I tell you the truth, you are looking for me not because of the miraculous signs, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. On him, God the Father has placed this seal of approval. And in verse 28, it goes on to say, and then they ask him, what must we do to do the works that God requires? And Jesus responds in verse 29, the work of God is this, to believe in the one he has sent. So they ask him, what miraculous sign will you give that way we may see and believe you? What will you do? Our forefathers ate the manna in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. And Jesus replies as only Jesus can reply in verse 32. I tell you the truth, it is not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Skip down a few verses to verse 43, and it says this, stop grumbling among yourselves, Jesus answered. No one comes to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. From God, only he has seen the Father. I tell you the truth. He who believes has everlasting life. He who believes has everlasting life. Saint Augustine noted that every person has a God-shaped hole in his or her soul. People attempt to fill that cavity with lots of things, but nothing satisfies our desire for significant and assurance of redemption except Jesus, the true bread from heaven. Deep in every human soul, he went on to say, is a search for harmony with our Creator that was lost in the Garden of Eden. He says, deep in every human soul is a search for harmony with our Creator God that was lost in the Garden of Eden. Now, we know a couple of things that we need to sustain our physical life, right? We know that we need food, and we need water, we need oxygen, Those are like the three basic components that we need to sustain our physical life. Without any of those three, certainly we will die a physical death. But above those, God created us with, I believe, two other basic needs. And these are more for our emotional need, I guess. And I believe they are these two things. We need to live in harmony and peace with our Creator. And we need to have security regarding our eternal address beyond our limited time on earth. If you think about it, if we could live with those two things, if we could live in harmony with our Creator and live with the knowledge that we have a permanent address after our time on earth is done, if we have those two things among the physical things that we need, we really have all that we need to live an abundant life. Leonard Sweet, a Christian professor, wrote this. He said, "There is an explosion of Americans seeking spiritual truth," and he calls them day trippers asking for direction. Day trippers asking for direction. Scouting the horizon for hope, wonder, and a way out of their maze of aimless living. People want purpose. Their soul is in search for harmony with their Creator. And the problem, or the sad part, is they don't even realize it. They're searching for something and they don't know what it is that they're searching for. And that's what he's saying. They're scouting the horizon for this hope, in this wonder, in this way out of this what feels like aimlessly living, this unintentional life, just going by day to day, just getting by without purpose. And they don't even know what it is. So here are some fun facts. Every year, Americans spend about $5 million on Twinkies. Twinkies, who would have thought? You know, those little golden cake things with the creamy centers to satisfy their sweet tooth. Now, in all honesty, I don't really care for Twinkies. They're not my favorite. When they went away for a short time, remember, that was like the big, oh no, Hostess is doing away with their Twinkies, the world is ending. It didn't really bother me that much because I don't really love them all that much. $5 million seems like a lot, doesn't it? Man, that seems like, man, that is a lot of money that Americans spend on Twinkies every year. But when you realize that we spend $16 billion on chocolate, then all of a sudden $5 million on Twinkies doesn't seem like much, right? Or $117 billion spent on fast food every single year. You wonder why we have issues, right? Why we have health issues. I mean, $117 billion spent on fast food every year. Now, that's not being critical because I spend my share of time driving through the drive-thru. Full confession. But what do we get in return? What do we get in return? We get a sugar high that requires another chocolate bar to fulfill it. And then even then, it doesn't fulfill it, but we think that it will. And it's this vicious cycle, right? And then we got the fast food that really is not good for us at all. It expands our waistline and in any other number of physical setbacks that it provides. And that's really all that it does for us, right? Or we search for it in different ways, too. We search for this fulfillment in a shiny new car. Maybe that's what's missing. Maybe it's the new car. That's what's missing. Maybe the new car will fill that hole that the author was talking about here. It probably won't, but it will leave you with a hefty monthly payment. Now, don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that it's bad to want nice things or even to have nice things. That's not what I'm saying at all. What I'm saying is that if having nice things is in pursuit of fulfilling something that only God can fulfill, then it's a problem. If you're pursuing those things, hoping that it's going to bring meaning to your life, or you're pursuing those nice things hoping that it's going to fulfill this void, then it becomes a real problem. The believed romantic affair to solve all of my relationship problems. I have a relational problem, so if I just have this affair, that will help fulfill that need. And that, we know, does not work either. All that does is lead us to guilt and broken lives in its wake. The search to find happiness in new toys will only end up fulfilling a toy box, but still leaves us feeling empty. We seem to think that the next thing will be enough, but then when we have the next thing, we realize that it's still not enough. So we pile on and we pile on, never seeming to understand that it's never going to be enough. When harmony with God is lost, the hole in the human heart still longs to be filled. We have that hole in our lives that was intended to be filled by God, intended to be filled by the Spirit. And when we lose that harmony with God, then the hole remains, or the hole that was once filled, and when we fall out of harmony with God, the hole is opened back up, if you will. It's kind of like scratching at it again, scratching at a scab that's recently healed, and then it just opens it back up again. And that's what it's like when we lose harmony with God. Each spring, teens seek to find joy on the beaches of Florida, right? Holding aluminum cans filled with the answers to life, only to discover that a new sunrise brought nothing but a bad headache. It didn't bring any new answers. It just brought a bad headache. Almost 20 million Americans seek to bury the sadness of their life with illegal narcotics. Just speaking truth here. Robbing their family's bank account, selling their body and soul for a few moments of freedom from the pain of life. But only a few free moments. Just only moments. The Apostle Paul found Athens full of idols. He found full of idols. Corinth was known to have more than 24 temples, each dedicated to a different deity. Can you imagine? 24, that's 24 temples, each of them dedicated to a different form of deity. So I guess what I'm saying is not much has changed. Not much has changed. In many countries, the government has become the new god to be worshipped. The new god to be depended upon. I hope that's not where we're headed, but it kind of feels that way. It kind of feels that, like that's where we're headed in America. To be depended on for all of our needs. A basic income promise to supply our needs, but it includes the cost. Some new rules. Social cancelization is the new human attempt to replace the Ten Commandments as a way to monitor the selfishness of human behavior. What are our most basic needs? To live in harmony and peace with our Creator and to have security regarding our eternal address beyond our death. What drags my life away from the harmony my heart desires? That's the question. What drags my heart away, or my harmony, or what drags my life away from that harmony that I desire? I know what I desire, so what drags my heart away from it? I tell you what it is, it's broken commandments. It's really quite simple, it's broken commandments. It's broken ethic, which leaves a mountain of regret and a mountain of guilt. We need freedom from the guilt. We need freedom from the regret. Now, listen and hear this. No one, not a single person, is free who is not forgiven. John Stott wrote this. He said, "It was the Garden of Eden, not Watergate, that the device called cover-up was first invented." He He wrote that in Contemporary Christianity. The head of a large English hospital has been quoted in saying this: I could dismiss half of my patients tomorrow, half of my patients tomorrow, if they could be assured of forgiveness. See, because so many people are living with guilt, and so many people are living thinking that they are not forgiven. So many people are living into that bondage. And he said, look, I could clear out half of my patients if they just understood that there was an opportunity for full forgiveness. The Apostle Paul wrote in his letter to the Corinthians congregation, God, our creator and eternal judge, placed on Jesus all of our sins and transferred to each believer his righteousness, in 2 Corinthians 5:21. The fact that Jesus died as our substitute to free our souls from the wrath of God against broken ethics is opposed and mocked by secular culture. And that is the problem. We cannot surrender the uniqueness of the deity of Jesus Christ of the doctrine of self-salvation, which again leaves the soul unfulfilled. And I'm telling you, I'll say it again, here is the problem. The very thing that can truly set us free is the very thing that is most mocked by our culture. Amen. The one thing that can set us free is the one thing that is mocked by our culture. Once you are alienated from God, see, this is the peace and the harmony that I'm talking about. Once you are alienated with God and that peace and that harmony have been separated, but now God has brought us back as friends, reconciled us through the blood of Jesus Christ, shed on the cross to present us holy in his sight without spot or blemish, free from accusations, if we continue in our faith. Having harmony with God. Having harmony with God means that you feel acceptance and peace in your soul. But we have to remember this. Your acceptance before God is not a question of your effort. But we make it about our effort. We make it about our effort. Even though we know it's not true, even though we believe it, we sometimes have a hard time convincing ourselves of it. We sometimes have a hard time convincing ourselves that it has nothing to do with our efforts. Or how well we did this week. It has nothing to do with that. Or how much you read the Bible or prayed or resisted temptation. Your acceptance is always a question of what Jesus Christ has done for us through his shed blood on the cross. Jesus said, you didn't choose me. He says, I chose you to follow me. I reached out and I drew you to me. I reached out and I called you to follow me. All we do is accept an invitation. He says, I chose you. I said there were two things that we need for basic two basic things that we need. And the first one I said was to live a life of peace and harmony with God. And I'm going to get on to number two, but I want to say this before I go on to number two. And I want to make this clarifying statement about number one. Number one is for everyone. Number one is for everyone, not just those that haven't accepted Jesus as their Savior. Because this is what I know to be true. I've been around a lot of people, and I've talked to a lot of people that are struggling and hurting. Some that aren't Christians, but many who are. Many who are. So this isn't just for those that don't know Jesus. This is for all of us, even those that do know Jesus. Because there are plenty of believers who are still living a life of discontentment because they are searching for peace in many other places and not searching for it in their relationship with Jesus. They have a relationship with Jesus. Maybe they've accepted Jesus as their personal Savior, but they still continue to look to other avenues and other places to fulfill that hole or that void. when all they have to do is turn to the relationship that they already have. Understand, this is for every single one of us. It's almost as if to say, I trust Jesus for my eternal life. I trust Jesus to know that I have a place to go because I've accepted him as my personal Savior. So I trust him with my personal life, but don't trust him to be the source of peace in my current life. We say, I've accepted Jesus, so I know I'm going to heaven someday, but I don't really trust him for peace and contentment in this current life. So I gather and I collect and I gather nice things and I do these things hoping to find it when it's already really been found in our relationship with him. Our second basic need is to know that there is eternal life. People seek nirvana through Near Eastern religions or trying to find hope in reincarnation. You think that it's not true? Believe me, it's true. Others search for eternal life through cryogenics, hoping science will renew their human existence somehow. People live this way. These are shiny objects that do not quiet the soul hunger for eternity. Only Jesus' resurrection can do that. Jesus was clear when he said this in verse 47 of the text that we read. He said, I am the bread of life. I am the bread of life. And I can give you that the food that endures to eternal life. He who believes in me will have everlasting life. The most fantastic of all claims is that Jesus rose from the dead by defeating Satan, who holds people in the grips of their fear of death. There are people who live in fear of death. But Jesus rose from the dead and defeated Satan, who holds that grip on us. Jesus, we know he didn't stay dead in the grave after his crucifixion. His resurrection provides the security of eternal life that our soul seeks. And I'll say it again, we believe it and we know that truth, but sometimes we live a life that does not reflect that belief or that truth. He came to remove the fear of God's judgment and death because the soul never dies. Jesus has promised that our body and soul will be reunited at his return, and we will receive our glorified, resurrected body fashioned like his glorious body. Praise God. Last week we talked about Jesus feeding 5,000. And after Jesus fed 5,000, he walked on the sea. And he landed on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And the crowds, they sailed in hot pursuit like they did everywhere he went. Hot pursuit of the teacher, hot pursuit of the Messiah. Who is this guy? They sailed in hot pursuit like a shoal of fish chasing a curiosity around the lake. Crowds pursued Jesus everywhere he went, wherever he went, obsessed with one question. They always had one question, and it was this: has the Messiah finally came? Has the Messiah finally came? An old Jewish tradition taught that the Messiah would renew the practice of Moses serving manna in the wilderness. And so they saw him feed the 5,000, so they were asking, has the Messiah finally came? Had this Jesus not accomplished that miracle? I mean, miracles attract crowds, right? I mean, if a miracle is happening in our present day, you would certainly be drawn to it. I sure would. I mean, if I saw somebody that was crippled all of a sudden be able to walk, or somebody that was blind all of a sudden be able to see, or somebody that was deaf be able to hear, or if I saw water turned into wine, or a snake turned into a stick, or turned into a snake, I would be drawn to that, as you would. Miracles attract crowds. And what else do they attract? They attract applause. You go to a magic show, right? And you see this miracle that the magician does, and it creates and it draws a crowd, and people applaud. But guess what? Their soul hunger would not be satisfied unless they had a personal connection to God. See, just seeing those things does not fulfill our need or our desire. It's being directly connected to the source of those things through a relationship with Him that fulfills that need. Jesus must have repeated the same words He had spoken to Satan. Remember when Jesus was baptized and He was led off into the wilderness and He was tempted by Satan? What did He say to Satan? Man does not live by bread alone. And then He went on to say, I am the bread of life. Simply believe in Me. Do you realize how hard that we make this? We make this so difficult. We think we have to gather and we have to work so hard. And really, it's right there in front of us for the taking. This ability to live a life of harmony with Jesus, to live a life of peace and contentment, and live a life in the knowledge and belief that we have eternal life, it's so simple, and we make it so hard. We make it so hard. Jesus says, simply believe in Me. Imitate Me. Let God's love flow through your life to others, and satisfaction will be experienced. That's what Jesus wants us to do. He wants His love to flow through us into other people. And when that happens, then we experience that true satisfaction, that true contentment, that true peace. That's when that whole God-shaped hole in our hearts is filled. Jesus said, I tell you the truth. You are looking for Me not because you saw miraculous signs. That's what the text said, if you remember. But because you ate the loaves and had your fill. See, whether the crowds knew it or not, that Jesus had fed the crowd of 1,000 with only 5 loaves and 2 fish. I don't know whether the crowds knew it or not. But I do know that the very next day, they were hungry for another miracle. They were hungry for another miracle. They were desiring more food. Already made. Already available. They had become addicted. Of course, the food was free. Jesus said, do not work. Do not seek food that spoils. Don't chase after those things. But seek food that endures to eternal life. And the hole in your heart, the search for lost happiness, then it will be found. Then and only then will it be found. Jesus said, I am the bread of life, satisfying humanity's greatest hunger, an intimate friendship with God. To be a friend, you have to stay connected with your friend. You have to stay connected with your friend. That means you have to communicate. That means you have to talk. That means you have to be in conversation. That means you have to be with them to maintain the friendship, and that's what Jesus is talking about. One way that we stay connected is through worship. The greatest way that we stay connected to God is through worship. Worship is more than songs and prayers. Rick Warren writes in his book, Purpose Driven Life. I don't know if anybody's ever read that. It's a great book. Highly recommend it if you haven't. And he writes this, to worship is to love God with all your heart and soul. Worship is submission to God and imitating the behavior and words of Jesus. That's what he says worship is. It's the to love God with all your heart and soul. And you know why he says that? Because the Bible says that. That's what the Bible says. It's exactly what the Bible says. Robert Capone wrote this. The Messiah was not going to save the world by miracles, Band-Aid interventions, a stormed calm sea, a crowd fed there, a mother-in-law cured back down the road. Rather, humanity would be saved by the mystery of His perfect sacrifice on a blood-stained cross. We love those other things, but it wasn't the miracles that were going to save humanity. It was the cross that was going to save humanity. Bread in the Bible is the symbol of spiritual life. People all over the world are the same. They have an inborn hunger for something, and that something is Jesus. You have an inborn hunger for something, and I can tell you it is Jesus. And the sooner we realize it and the sooner we pursue it, the sooner our appetite will be fulfilled. Jesus said, I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. That's number two. That's number two. That's what we need, is the assurance of this eternal life. When Jesus states, I am the bread of life, he is inviting us to absorb his teaching. He's saying, I am the bread of life. Listen to my words. Absorb it. Meditate on it. He is inviting us to absorb his values. He is inviting us to absorb his very being. He is speaking to us about assimilation, to be aware of and have this his passion, to the cross and the resurrection, to his commands. What does Jesus say? If you love me, you'll what? If you love me, you'll what? If you love me, you'll obey my commands. Jesus said, take and eat this body. There is nothing in any other religion that even comes close to this profound teaching. Nothing. It is the Holy Spirit that is the invisible presence of Jesus Christ in each believer. The Holy Spirit is the one who fills the hole in the human heart. For the Holy Spirit is truly the very presence of Jesus in our lives. The soul comes alive when Jesus moves in and lives in our being. That's when your soul will come alive. When harmony with God exists, I'm finishing up with this. When harmony with God exists, harmony with all creatures and our fellow human beings becomes reality. You can't live in harmony with anything unless you live in harmony with God. When you live in harmony with God, then harmony in your relationships become a reality. But if we're not living in harmony with Jesus Christ, it's going to be really, really hard to experience harmony in any other relationship that we have. This is how life works. Jesus said, I am the vine, and you are the branches. But the vine needs the branches to bear fruit. There is within every human heart a yearning for a connection with the Creator. And I can tell you there is a community that does not know that, believe that, or understand that. And then there is a community of believers that does know it, but forgets it, and we don't live our life to that end. But back to the community that doesn't know it, it's our job to make sure they understand it. It's our job to make sure they understand that they're not ever going to find it in all those other things that they are attempting. The soul comes alive when Jesus moves in our lives. Harmony with God exists when harmony exists with God, as I said, everything else comes to life. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Only Jesus satisfies. Only Jesus. When I started the message, I said that this is a truth that we probably all believe, but we sometimes forget, and we don't live in our life reflects the fact that we forget. We need to stop searching. Just rely on that relationship that you already have with Jesus, for he is the bread of life. My encouragement to you this morning is to listen to the voice of Jesus speaking to your heart. You're going to have an opportunity to do that. In the closing song, we're going to have communion. It'll be a perfect time to listen to the voice of Jesus speak to your heart, because I believe that he is. And I believe that he will. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for your word. Thank you specifically for your teaching. in the book of John to the people that were gathered around, Lord. We know that your teaching was for them, but we know that that teaching was also for us today. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity that we have to have a relationship with you. Not only to secure our eternal life, but an opportunity to live a life of peace and harmony in our current life. And Lord, I pray that you would keep us mindful of that each day. And Lord, that you would forgive us for the times in our lives when our life doesn't reflect that. When we chase after a million other things, when we chase after the perfect job, when we chase after the perfect car, when we chase after the perfect person, we chase after all of these other things, trying to fulfill that hole that your spirit only can fill. Lord, keep us mindful of that and forgive us when our actions in our life reflect something very different. And Lord, then give us the boldness and give us the courage to communicate that truth to a community around us that does not otherwise already believe it, to a community that is seeking peace and harmony in a million different places. We know, Lord, that they will never find it. We know that they will always come up empty unless they finally turn to you. It's a hole, it's a God-shaped hole that only you can fill. But Lord, I thank you that you are willing to fill it, that you are inviting us and drawing us near to you so that you can fulfill it if we would just surrender our lives to you.